Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Inside Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und wir haben heute schon wieder einen englischen Gast und schon wieder aus Texas. Good morning, Davey.
Good morning.
Hi there. Maybe you should introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure. My name is Davey Reedon. I am one of the designers on Stanley Parable. I am the creator of the original mod, the Half-Life 2 mod that came out in 2011. And on the new version that we've been developing for the last 2 years and that came out just over a week ago, I was kind of the writer and general director, overseer of the project.
Okay. I was wondering why you call yourself a designer and not a writer, because in the game itself, you're listed as a writer.
It's tricky, right? Like, in the credits, it's listed as written and designed by Davey Reedon and William Pugh. You know, we don't... The roles were very fluid, right? Like, it was never, like, specific, is never entirely one person doing one thing or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of handed it back and forth a lot.
Sure. So, how are you? It has been a rough couple of days the last, since the release, I figured. Everybody's talking about your game, every press... site and magazine is making one meta article after another. Are you?
It's been a lot. Just this morning, Penny Arcade posted a comic about Stanley Parable.
Wow.
So, like, you know, still it's coming in, and it's been pretty overwhelming. Mm. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And it's been very good. I'm really happy about everything and how it's gone so well, you know, but it is also very draining, you know. It's starting to die down now. It's starting to actually kind of, you know, cool off a bit. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. And it comes together with the phase after a launch, I guess, where people always talk about that they drop into a big hole after some big projects like that, and
yeah.
That combines with the media coverage.
I was really aware, you know, that kind of thing has and does happen, and I made sure that I'm around a lot of people who are good influences on me. I think that's one trap that's easy to fall into is to be sort of alone and isolated, and that can become really depressing for people. And so, like, I've made sure to keep really good people around me. But, you know, the reality is that I've been up and down, you know, like it's been tricky. There have been days that I've felt really, really unsteady. And just because, like, for whatever reason, like, I think that what happens in a circumstance like this is that when you do this, when you like release a game or a project or a work that's, you know, is close to your heart like this, you make yourself really, really vulnerable, you know?
Mm.
And you kind of, you're sort of at the mercy of whatever influences happen to come your way, right? Like, it becomes a lot easier to just get sucked up into like an emotion or a state of mind or an anxiety or a problem or something like that. And so, like, you know, it's also really, really positive and fantastic. But whenever there's something stressful or just whenever there's a lot to deal with, it becomes magnified, you know, like 1,000 times over. You feel that anxiety, like, 100 times stronger than you would have normally, just because you're in kind of like a very weak state. You know, you don't have a lot to defend yourself with emotionally, right?
The interesting part about this is that the game is a huge success, you know? Like,
yeah.
Isn't it like paradox that everybody thinks, wow, it's a huge success, and why are these guys vulnerable even... You know, like Phil Fish, like everybody loved Fez, but he got destroyed by the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
And this is, you know, it's tricky because you can't, I can tell you this, But in the way that, you know, like when I hung out with, in the time that I've spent with Phil, I've always known that he's a really smart guy with his head on his shoulders. And when he, you know, when I know that he's gone through this stuff, it's like, I understand and I believe him, but until you go through it, it's really, really hard to describe. Like even with a close friend who you know trusts, you know, you trust and who you would believe in, it's, you just can't tell it to someone in the same way, right? Because it's a rare thing to go through. You know, when a lot of people are playing your work, like this work that you've spent years, you know, producing, that is this thing that is, you know, this passion project that's your heart and soul, that is, has all of these elements that you want to express to the world. When this huge sudden wave of people comes in and begins playing that, it has this effect that I can only just describe as being kind of like soul crippling, like having your legs kind of like swept out from under you. You know, for several days, it was all I could do just not to cry, you know, like especially when we released the demo, right? And that really happened with the demo, because suddenly all of these people, you know, we were just like alone in a bubble, basically, like making this game. And then suddenly one day, thousands of people have played it and are talking about it and talking to me. And it's the change, the very, very sudden change, you know, to go from one thing to the other. Mm-hmm. It just, it was so hard not to just, I was just emotional, right? I was just like purely just a raw ball of emotion. And I'm actually glad that that happened, so that when the main game came out, I got some of it out of my system. But then the main game had like new stresses as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that like it's really hard to describe this, because you sound like an asshole like saying this kinds of stuff. But like, you know, when you know that there's a lot of money coming in, it's nice up to a certain point, and then it crosses a certain threshold, and then like after a certain point, the more money that I made, the more anxious and stressed I became about it. And I started just like obsessing over all of the money I wasn't making, and were there things I did that I could have made more money, and oh, it would have been, if only we hadn't done this thing, we would have more, and how much did other people make? Did I make more than this other person? Did I make less? Am I rich now? What qualifies as rich? Right.
Like, I loved it how you described it in your postmortem, that you said it's a very poisonous kind of mind state, and that it becomes like an high score. You know, like you want to beat the other indie developer who made this amount of money. And right. I really, really loved your argument that you said that you see it as now you can develop whatever you like with the money equals time.
Well, that's how I'm thinking about it now. And it's what I was trying to convince myself of at the time, you know, even though I didn't really, I still, you know, I was still in a very competitive headspace for a while, but now I've calmed down a bit and I look back at that and it feels like a different person thinking those things, you know, like I was competitive with other developers to make more money. What was I thinking? Right. Like it's ridiculous, you know, but it was totally real at the time. And it you know, like I said, it's a ridiculous problem to complain about, like having too much, making too much money, right? But but there was a period of time where it really was difficult. And now what it is like, okay, I know that I can get into whatever new projects I want to now without having to worry about the making money side of it. You know, because we worked really, really, really hard with Stanley Parable at the making money side, right? Like we put a lot of effort into how are we going to make this financially viable. Yeah. And I don't have to do that, you know, anymore. I can purely just work on creating entirely new things, right? And that's exciting to me, and that's thrilling, and that's the headspace I want to be in with it, is to know that I have that freedom.
Regarding the game coverage, are you the press coverage? Are you happy how the press covered your game? Because it's a very hard game to describe to another player, because of the whole way you did this game, you know.
Yeah.
you like to fuck with the mind, with the player expectations and stuff like that. So it's very hard for the typical game reviews to cover your game. Are you happy with the way they did it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that it's just that in that playing the game is kind of about the choices you make playing it. I like that reviewing the game also and talking about it also seems to be a reflection of the choices you make in trying to review it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate when people do something really different and unique with it, you know, like with trying to talk about it. It's not that this is like, less interesting or whatever, but you know, so like a bunch of people have done the kind of like, this review is about reviewing the Stanley Parable, right? And I've seen a number of people who've done like different takes on that and different interpretations. I've seen people who did like multiple reviews all in at once in the same review, you know, or people who did like video reviews where the video kept restarting over and over. Jim Sterling on Destructoid did an interesting review where he just literally said like, the Stanley Parable is a game about how difficult it is to describe something that is complex and weird. And the best thing that I could do in reviewing it is not to tell you a single thing about it.
Mm.
10 out of 10. Right. And like that was the whole review.
Yeah.
And so like, I like that those things, you know, the farther out that something is, the weirder it is, the more that I like that it exists, you know, even regardless of whether or not, like, if I also like it, that's really cool. But I'm really just glad that people would do something different, you know, like something outside of the mold, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, oh, cool. That was really awesome for that to happen.
I like that your creativity inspired other people to be creative as well.
Yeah.
You know? That's like the greatest compliment you can give an artist, I guess.
That's I think what it's about at the end of the day,
yeah.
You know, it's like, what does this inspire in turn?
How do you describe the game to other people if they ask you?
I don't. I don't. And this is a very conscious, you know, like, I know that I'm often amongst and talking with developers who have kind of a hook, you know, for like talking about their game.
Mm.
And this is a wonderful thing that for many people to do, to understand and to have that skill for many games, that's the appropriate way to do it, right? And it's not a value thing. But I've sort of made a choice never to do that with Stanley Parable.
Mm.
I guess I decided I would find it more interesting to not do that. And like, so every time someone asks me what it's about, I make up something new, you know, like
even that fits the game, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Sure. Part of the reason that we made the demo is so that when it comes to, should I purchase it? You have something that you can go to and play and to understand a bit of what it is and to know what it is you're paying for.
Mm.
Right. So like that's useful in that sense. Like when the original game was free, we could just say, hey, just go play the game. Right. And having something like that where I can actually put something in front of you, because the words I use to describe it are never going to do it justice. But then I'll have people play the demo and they'll tell me what they think it is and they'll describe it in better language than I could have used to tell them about it.
The demo, right? The demo totally sold me. That's like the best demo I've ever played because it's a total unique thing because it's a standalone game in itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it totally gives you the idea what to expect in the game, and even these expectations get broken and get that's a perfect fit for the game. And I like the idea that you made customized version for some famous Let's Players. to fuck with it with their minds as well. That's right. Just brilliant.
And you know, the fact, like, if you didn't know anything about the Stanley Parable and you asked me what's it about, and I was like, well, it's gonna fuck with your expectations, right? And you're like, oh, okay, that doesn't really tell me anything. Like, what is it? What do you do, right? But then if you go and play the demo, and you'll be like, oh, I get it. It's gonna fuck with your expectations, right? And you could say the same thing, but it would mean something very different, right? Like, you know, it's not the words that you use. It's what the words are trying to say that is deeper than that, right? Because, you know, when whatever language you find for it is your own, right? Like, that's, you know, there, you know, no one else may ever describe it in that exact way that you described it, right? And that's your experience. But it's only ever just pointing to, like, internally, this is what you felt about it, right?
That's what
I wanted it to be, is to like give to inspire you to use new language to try to talk about what you felt.
Can you give us a little bit insight in the development of the game? Like, how did it all started? You started with the mod for Half-Life 2?
I started with the mod. I made that for 2 years. I released that, and then William came to me and said, hey, let me work on this to make it just nicer. Look nicer. I was like, yeah, okay, sure.
But how did you come up with the general idea making a game about, you know, like the choices in games and stuff?
I don't know.
In the shower, like always.
Yeah, probably. Right. I couldn't do very much with the Source SDK because I wasn't very good with it. I could make like hallways and sound, and I like narrators. So I thought, like, okay, let's just go with this, see where it goes. But you know, the reality is that that's an unanswerable question.
Yeah.
You know, because no one knows where it came from. Like, where did it just, it felt obvious, right? But no one likes hearing that, you know, because it doesn't explain anything. And I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
Right.
It just grew.
It does. You start somewhere and it just kind of grows. And you're like, oh, now it's this. Oh, now it's this. Oh, now it's this. And then you look back 4 years later and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that's where it was going. Right.
I love the room in antechamber where you where you see all the different states that game made
right.
through the years. And you have something similar in one of the rooms. I really enjoyed that part, but it's very hard. It's very difficult to imagine how much content you destroyed and redone. Is there a lot of like choices you just deleted and hated and brought back to life and stuff like that?
We threw away so much content. You know, we really did. And then the museum in the game only touches on like a little fraction of it. You know, there was so much that we did that just never went anywhere.
How did you decide when the game is ready? You know, like, you don't have a big publisher who says that's the release date, and one of these games where you can always add something. It's like it's a never ending story, isn't it?
It kind of is, right? But that's not really the whole story, because like that's only partially true, right? Like, there's this notion in indie development that like, oh, we're free from the shackles of the man, right? Like, we can do anything we want, right? You know, and that's kind of true, but that's not always it's not always a good thing to have no constraints, right? Because like, you know, we made this game in 2 years. We could have spent 5 years on it, right? No question about it. Could have spent 5 years, right? And we would have had not enough stuff to keep going. You know, like 6 months or so before release of the game, I realized that if we might just never stop, right? That it was possible that if we didn't set a release date. And so William and I sat down and said, okay, from here on out, everything that we do is going to go toward releasing a game, right? And that's what we did. And if we hadn't done that, you know, the last 6 months were by far the most productive 6 months of the entire development, right? Because we knew that we wanted to finish it in 6 months. You know, and like, if we hadn't, it would have taken another year to have accomplished, I think, what we did in that period of time. Right. And, you know, we don't have infinite money, right, to be like doing this. By the end of it, we were both working full time on it. And like, it's just not good for you anyway, I don't think. Right. Like, to spend, like, I would rather do something new, You know, I want to make new stuff. I don't want to spend forever doing Stanley Parable. Like I respect that people, that there are people who want this to have been like some belabored, you know, decade long process of brutal, like, love and passion and tears and sweat and blood and everything. But I don't know if that's how I want my work. I think I want my work to be like happier and lighter, you know, and to be not so tortured. And it's not worth it, you know, like, it's really not. So, like, we set a deadline, you know, we knew that when the date was going to be several months in advance, and we said, well, we're going to finish it. And it, we cut it very close, you know, we were very, very close to the line, to the end there. So I really don't think it's a healthy idea to get into a mindset of like no constraints, you know, no, because then you just get carried away, you know, and you're always giving something up, right?
You don't get shit done that this way, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're always giving something up. Like when the company has a deadline and a structure, like, you know that you're going to be shipping a product, right? And it's going out into the hands of people, right? I don't want to start something. I don't know. I want to have more interaction with the people who play my work. I want to put something out more regularly.
Yeah. You said you worked full time in the last couple of months. How did you finance the game in the beginning, like the 2 years of development?
Well, I was a student.
Yeah. Then. Okay.
So I was in school doing stuff, doing it in my free time.
Okay, and then the last couple of months you just stopped and worked full time on the game.
And so I worked another year on it while I was doing bar and restaurant jobs, and then the last year of development I worked on it full time with, like, you know, savings and family money.
So you're going on a vacation right now?
Well, I don't know if you call it a vacation. It's going to be like a festival.
Like a time out.
Yeah, basically. But I'm really looking forward to it, just to get away, to not spend all day responding to emails. That's the intention. We'll see if that works. I'm just going to be there hanging out in Toronto with some friends and seeing stuff and doing things and being around other good people. So it'll be as much of a vacation as I get right now.
How do you decide what your next game is going to be? Like, now you mentioned you have some kind of freedom to just let the ideas come and inspect those ideas and see where they're going to. But like you said, you need a deadline and a goal to reach. Mm-hmm. What's your way to find a new game, and how do you handle the huge expectations after a game like that? You know.
I plan to be smarter going into whatever we work on next. I know a lot now that I didn't know back then, and that I would not let the development of the game go in that direction anymore. You know, it was a bit too chaotic working on this the way that we did, and we are going to be a lot smarter, right? And I don't know what that means yet, and I don't want to know, right? Like, I know that I feel like expectations or whatever, but I know that, like, the anxiety, that's also just another phase that I think maybe just needs to pass through me. And once it's gone, then I'll be able to do the work I want to do, knowing that whatever I do will be just fine.
Are you happy with, like, the working in a small team like you did now, or do you think there's growth in your studio, in your growing studio right now?
I don't know. I'm not, like, everything about the work that we're doing and Galactic Cafe is, it's very fluid, you know, and I know that we have the ability to just take our hands off the wheel a little bit and kind of just see where it goes. Right. I don't know, right? To let something happen to it that I hadn't expected, basically, right? I want us now to just be able to kind of put our intentions into it and our work and see what happens without us trying to direct it in any one particular direction too much, right? Which, I don't know. I don't know what that means, right? It's just that I think that whatever does happen is going to be, I want whatever happens to be a result of the kind of collective force amongst us, like a Ouija board, you know, kind of like collectively pushing the company in some direction that even we don't entirely understand.
Yeah. I just hope Kevin Brighting is in your next game as well. The narrator
of
this game.
I mean, I'd love to do more work with him, but I also know that I don't want to get too comfortable with anyone. Like, I don't want to start designing for a certain recurring element, for example. Right? Like I want to make sure that like I sort of want, because I know that that's kind of an expectation in a sense, or because it's a design like tool that I've got, I kind of want to throw it out and force and make myself do something that I'm less comfortable with. Right. But so I don't know. Right. I don't have any idea what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, I know I have that there, but I don't want to be like complacent with it.
Could you imagine working in a huge developer AAA company style, or is it like?
I don't know. I've never done it. I literally know. I have friends who work there, so I know like a little bit about it tangentially, but I've never. I don't know.
You know, having the freedom to like direct like 20 to 30 programmers and designers and stuff like that. Like, if you would get an offer like from Ubisoft or stuff like that. You know, like, man, here, direct our new blah 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 game.
Man, directing like 4 people and like communicating between, you know, 4 people was so stressful. I don't even know what 20 people would be like. It's I don't know if that's where I want my energy to go. You know, I'm pretty sure that is not. I don't know. It'd be a fun experience, right? Like, I really couldn't say. I couldn't tell you until I were to do it, right? Find out, but you know, there's always a trade-off, and like, just in terms of the time spent doing that, I don't know, would it be worth it? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, and I probably won't. You know, like, the reality is probably not going to happen in like an isolated universe where I could just do that and have it not take up time. Then sure, I'd give it a shot, right? But I think I would rather spend my time doing something like. I'm mostly confident what my conclusion would be coming away from that experience, right? There'd be some lessons I'd learn, but I could probably learn a lot more lessons by going and doing something that I knew less about.
Yeah. Do you dream of Stanley sometimes? Or in the game? Or the narrator even?
I never dream in the content of the game. I dream about deadlines and... you know, review scores. And I never dream in the world of Stanley. I always dream production.
Because it happened to me like once that I played so much Tetris as a kid that I couldn't stop thinking about Tetris. You know, like, I just imagined you lying in bed and hearing the narrator in your dreams.
Yeah, you know, not as much as you'd think. Yeah, you might be surprised, but we really don't. Because I know the nuts and bolts of the game. I know that, you know, like, I know that it's all WAV files and BSPs and VMFs and everything. And I'm too familiar with the guts of it.
The narrator loses its personality because you know which file is played at which point.
Exactly. Right. He's not really like an organic character to me the way he is to other people. But like, one thing that we did that was really fun was, William, you know, is the level designer, so he actually builds all of the environments, and so I had Kevin, I sent off a script to Kevin to record, and I had him record an extra little piece of dialogue, so like in the lounge, right, which is a room where the narrator thinks that Stanley must really love this room, so he has all of these lines of dialogue for how much Stanley loves the room. And so I had Kevin record an extra piece of dialogue talking to William about the room and about why it's not really that good of a room. And he could really work on his level design to improve the room. And here are some suggestions for ways that he could improve the room to like make it, you know, better for players. And so we stuck that in. We snuck that into the files and then had William test it out. We were like, hey, you know, so just updated, you know, the files. Why don't we run through it and give it a quick test just to make sure everything's working? So he did, and was like super confused and was like, what's going on here? What? And he was like really, really lost, but he thought it was wonderful. Like he got to, you know, cause we don't get to play our own game. Mm-hmm. Right. But he got to play the game. He actually got the experience of playing Stanley Parable at that moment. I think he really, that was a really nice thing to get to do.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for your time. It was very nice talking to you.
Of course. It's a lovely chat.
And I wish you best of luck with the rest of the sale curve on the game. It's available on Steam, of course, just PC. I was a bit disappointed because there's no Mac version.
We're working on the Mac port right now. I'm getting a Mac out to our programmer so that he can start that as soon as possible.
Yeah. And please play the demo, you listeners, before you buy the game, because otherwise you would miss a great part of the game. Thanks for your time and good luck with the next game. I'm looking forward to that, whatever it may be. And have a nice vacation and a nice free time.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Bye.
Bye.